Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running, don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them and stink the moment you let me round. I torched it, screamed, shouted, and forced it to move off that groove it made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you free from danger. Hurt, fear, depression, and anger, confusing, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting but what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
I'll fight, you know I'm ready, but I'll fight for you.
Good evening, Israel and family and listening audience. Welcome to another Sabbath day. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarrow, of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest everyone to grab your study tools, your iPads, your notepads, your Bibles, your Bible dictionaries, all those things that you may need for a good study. As always, if you can, send me a shout-out, send me a thumbs-up, let me know that you can hear me clearly. And I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon-coming King. We're coming to understand and we're coming to know through him and only through him that we can make it into your kingdom. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect us and open our minds to the wonders of your truth, of your word. We thank you for your protection and helping us to maintain good health. We thank you for giving us ear to hear and giving us a mouth to speak the wonders of your word. We thank you for protecting us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for the health and strength that you've given us. We thank you for the aid that you've given us throughout the course of this week through thy Son, Yahushua. Father, we just thank you for love for us. And Father, may we continue to show our constant love for you and being obedient to your word, to your truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom once again, family. I'm your host, Yarrow. And we're going to continue on this road of Joshua. But before we start Joshua today, I made a comment last week in regards to, you know, the major religions. And one of the things that, you know, came to my mind, I guess it was after the teaching, was, you know, the scriptures where it talks about how the believers are going to do a greater work than what was done before. And the thing that came to my mind was because Israel, the true Israel, is supposed to be a light to the world. And so, you know, when I was going over these different religions, I think I didn't have the numbers for the different religions. So we're going to go with, going to start this off with, you know, you can look this up in, you know, on Google or one of those resources, because that's what I did. Christianity, the amount of alleged amount of followers based on a 2020 census was 2 billion people that are following Christianity. There are 1.3 billion people are following Islam. There's 9 million people following Hinduism. There's 360 million people following Buddhism. There's 23 million people following Sikhism. And Sikhism, if anyone doesn't know, it is a combination of Islam and Hinduism. And last but not least, Judaism, 14 million people, based on the 2020 census of how many people are following these particular religions. But as you know, we're Israelites, you know, so they don't even know the number of people that's following the ways of the Most High. But we know that we are. And we know that we have a great task ahead of us in converting, not really converting, but just bringing people to the knowledge of the truth of Yahweh's word. You know, and in light of that, you know, one of the things that, you know, throughout the course of this week, you know, I think I started off with talking about myself and how I was having these teeth issues. And, you know, some of the things that the Father brought to my mind in regards to, you know, the teeth and how I compared cavity with sin. And so one of the things that, you know, the Father brought to me throughout the course of this week was I'm one of them individuals I like to watch the home improvement shows or where people remodel their houses and sell them and things of that nature. So the Father, you know, put on my mind in regards to these different shows. And I recently was watching this show, and it had this one guy, he's an inspector, and the other person that he's working with, she's like, she's a designer. So what they do, they assist people in going through houses that they're interested in and checking them out. So because the one guy's an inspector, he really looks past the surface. Because as we know, when people are selling their houses, you know, they want their house to look the best. So somebody can come in the house and look at it like, oh, this is really wonderful. Oh, yeah, I could do this and I could do that and I could do this. But, they're making it look good on the surface. So because this guy's an inspector, he's not looking at the obvious. So, you know, he checks the plumbing. He checks the foundation of the house. You know, he does a whole lot, you know, he does a number of other things outside of looking at the beauty or how good a house can look. You know, and then the designer goes in and she looks at the house and says, okay, you know, if it's in your budget, we can take this wall down, we can take this wall down. You know, she's going in there and she's tearing things down, you know, that looks good but could look better. And I say all that to, you know, to compare that to, you know, me checking out myself. And also, you know, you as an individual and within my listening voice, then you could possibly do the same thing for yourself. Because the Father tells us that, you know, we are a house. And, you know, and because we're a house, you know, we got to make sure that we are, you know, prim and proper and ready for his spirit to be housed within us. And then, you know, as we say, in those spirits to dwell within us. And if these spirits are not going to continue to dwell in us, if we are not doing right, if we're not removing the sin from us, if we're not, you know, making sure that our foundation is solid. Because like one of the episodes I watched, the guy had to redo the foundation down in the basement because the basement was leaking water. And the water was coming from the downspout where the water's coming off the roof. So, you know, looking at it from that perspective, water, you know, things trickle down. And as a result, things go bad. So, you know, just saying, you know, one of the things that I've, you know, been pondering throughout this course of this week, you know, how it says, you know, we die daily. You know, we're supposed to look in the mirror and check ourselves, you know, and compare ourselves with the Word. And as we approach the new year, you know, that's what, you know, one of the things you do throughout the course of winter months is constantly checking yourself, checking yourself, checking yourself, even though we're supposed to check ourselves daily. But, you know, during that season when nothing is really moving, you can check yourself even more, you know, because now, you know, when you deal with the winter months, you're dealing with a different type of weather. You know, this is the time, you know, during the winter is when, you know, you get your AC checked out, make sure your AC is working, you know, because as the weather warms up, you're going to want the AC. You don't want on that real hot day, all of a sudden, you turn your AC on and it coughs at you, you know, as in, hey, I'm kicking out hot air. I'm not going to be kicking out no cool air, you know, because you didn't do the basic maintenance to make sure that you're straight. And that's what reading the Torah is all about, constantly reading it, constantly making changes to yourself, you know, because we don't want the Father to splatter us and start all over, you know, when we can maintain throughout the course of our journey with Him. So that was just one of the things that, you know, came to my mind, connecting it with, you know, the teeth aspect or that war, you know, that we're constantly in, you know, as we say, as we read in Ephesians chapter, you know, 6, talking about, you know, we war not with flesh and blood, but in principalities and high places. You know, so we're not warring against our brother, man. We're warring against the adversary. We all have that mutual enemy, and that's the adversary. You know, and what he's trying to do is constantly keep us out of the Word, keep us going contrary to the Word, you know, thinking that being disobedient is fun, when in essence, this being disobedient is not fun. And as we read in the history of Israel, we see the end results of their disobedience, constantly being in slavery, constantly being in slavery, constantly being in slavery. But so now we're going to get into, as we go through the next four chapters of Yahushua, son of Nun, you know, we're going to, I'm going to stop throughout the course of the chapters when the Father lead and guide me to stop. Because as I was reading these four chapters, you know, nothing really, you know, the Father didn't have anything jump out at me. So just going to read it, you know, and he may have something jump out at you. And you take notes and you study it, you know, and then you have an opportunity to share it, you know, because the Father does allow us to share our the insight that he gives us with those in whom we come in contact with. Because we're all light of Yahushua. And as long as we believe and understand that, that's half of the battle. That's half of the battle. Because that's all we have to do is be willing vessels and willing to be obedient. And then everything else will fall in place. As we read in the first couple of chapters, you know, when Israel was being obedient, the Father was doing this thing, you know. Because he said, I'm going to go before you. And, you know, we know that he's behind us also. So now, Israel has defeated the Jericho. And they have defeated Ai. And so now we're getting in the ninth chapter. And the reputation of Yahweh is going forth. And people are afraid of Joshua, son of Nun, and Israel because of Yahweh. Yahushua, chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on the side of the Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and all the coasts of the great sea over the, over against Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, the Jebusites heard thereof. They heard thereof that they gathered themselves together to fight with Yahushua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Yahushua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work. Truly, and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their donkeys, and wine bottles old, and rent, and bound up, and old shoes and clouts upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions were dried and moldy. And they went to Yahushua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country now, therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hevite, preadventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Yahushua, we are thy servants. And Yahushua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence ye come? From whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country, thy servants are come, because of the name of Yahweh, thy Elohim. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sikon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take vessels with you from the journey, and go to them, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This, our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took their vessels and asked, not counseled at the mouth of Yahweh. And Yahushua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. We're going to go up here to verse 14 real quick. And it says, the men took their vessels and asked no counsel at the mouth of Yahweh. So, stopping here, you know, we got Yahushua, son of Nun. He's leading the people. But he never sought any counsel in regards to these men, in regards to making this agreement with these men from a very long place, as they said. You know, so one of the things that, you know, I'm going to say I've learned over the years, you know, because in the beginning of my journey with the Most High, I really didn't do too much praying. I just made a decision and dealt with the repercussions of whatever decision I made. But right now, in this part of my journey, you know, when things come up, I mean, I seek the Father. I pray. I ask for counsel. You know, but these brothers right here, knowing that that's one of the main things that they do is seek counsel, they didn't seek counsel. So now we're going to find out what happens when they didn't seek counsel. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of the 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journey and came into their city on the third day. Now their city where Gibeon, now their cities were Gibeon. I'm going to hold on for a minute. Look this word up. It's Keithrah. Bethrah. And look this other one up. And it's Kiyah Yarim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the prince. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. So now we see, because they didn't seek Yahweh, the people are murmuring against the decision that they made. Because now they're in a situation where they're supposed to smoke these people. And because they made an agreement with them, they couldn't do it. Verse 20. This will do to them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the prince said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water, all the congregation, as the prince had promised them. And Yahushua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwelled among us. And therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my Elohim. And they answered Yahushua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the mighty one, Yahweh thy mighty one, commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thy hands, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us. Do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hands of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Yahushua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of Yahweh, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. I'm going to stop here for a minute. So we have to be mindful of who we make pacts with. Because sometimes we might be going against the will of the Most High. And we don't want to do that, because that's what we read here. They didn't consult the Most High in regards to a situation. As a result, the people murmured, and sometimes when people murmur, it's a form of, they start to distrust. But we're just hoping that, the people didn't distrust Yahushua, son of Nun. Chapter 10. I had to look this king's name up. Hold on. All right, it says, now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard now Yahushua had taken Ai, and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were not among them, that they feared greatly because of Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men therefore were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and to Parim, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Yahushua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, and the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Yahushua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Yahushua ascended from Gilgal, he and all his people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Yahweh said unto Yahushua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. Therefore, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. I'm going to stop here for a minute, because now we're seeing that other nations rose up against Gibeon. And as we know, Gibeon deceived Yahushua, son of Nun. But now we're seeing that the Most High is going to use this to his advantage. Verse 9, Yahushua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Yahweh discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up unto Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah, and unto, let me look this one up. Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in going down to Beth Horon, that Yahweh cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Yahushua to Yahweh in the day when Yahweh delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of... let me look that up. I don't want to mess it up. Ayalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens, of the heavens, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. I'm going to stop here for a minute because it makes reference to another book. It says the Book of Jasher. Now I'm just putting this out there as a footnote. The Book of Jasher, Jasher was not a man. It was just a title which means upright. And this particular, and Jasher is also considered like a historical book. And because it's considered historical, the things that are written in there do not supersede what the Torah says. It's just a reference. And if you want to read, if you have the Book of Jasher, this particular writing is in chapter 88, verses 63 and 64. That's just if you want to look it up. Verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of a man. For Yahweh fought for Israel. And Yahushua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp, to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Yahushua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Yahushua said, roll a great stone upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemy, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their city, for Yahweh your Elohim hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Yahushua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaughtering, an end of slaying them with the great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced city. And all the people returned to the camp to Yahushua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Yahushua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hezron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Yahushua, that Yahushua called for all the men of Israel and said unto them, captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, and they put their feet upon the necks of them. And Yahushua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall Yahweh do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Yahushua smote them and slew them and hung them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the tree until the evening. And it came to pass that And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Yahushua commanded, and they took them down off the tree and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remaineth until this very day. And that day Yahushua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain. And he did to the king of Makeda, as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Yahushua passed from Makeda, and all Israel with him, unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah, and the and Yahweh delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Yahushua passed through Lebanon, and all of Israel with him, until Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. And Yahweh delivered Lachish into his hands of, and to the hands of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Lebanon. Then Haran, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish. And Yahushua smote him and his people until he had left them none remaining. And from Lachish, Yahushua passed unto Eglon, all Israel with him, and all Israel with him. And they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein, he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Yahushua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, into Hebron. And they fought against it, and they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Yahushua returned, and all of Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debri, and to the king and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Lebanon and her king. So Yahushua smote all the countries of the hills and of the south and of the valley and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel commanded. And Yahushua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even into Gaza, and all the countries of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. All these kings and their lands did Yahushua take at one time, because Yahweh Elohim of Israel fought for Israel. And Yahushua returned, and all of Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. We'll stop here for a minute. As we went through chapter 10, you know, that deception that happened in chapter 9 just brought all these kings together. And when he smoked all the kings that, you know, the lands in which they were over had no leader. So when, you know, so when we look at things that's in a disarray, you know, when a group of people don't have a leader, then they have to fend for who's the leader, who's the leader, who's the leader, who's the leader. You know, but when you have a fine, when you have a good system, there's no question about who the leader is. As Israel has, they have a good leader. They have Yahweh Elohim as their leader. And they have Joshua as the person to whom that leader is communicating with. And as we read in Exodus, how the Father, how Yahweh told Moses that I'll go before you. So as we read through chapter 10, Yahweh was going before them and wiping these people out. He had already put the fear in their hearts. And that's all Yahushua had to do was go through and clean up. Clean up their fear. We're going to go to chapter 11 now. But before we go to chapter 11, this is just going back, to the little refresher in regards to us as individuals. You know, how can we stand strong for the Most High if we, first of all, don't believe in Him? First of all, don't listen to Him. First of all, don't respect Him. You know, how do we expect Him to stand up for us if we're not giving Him what's necessary? You know, how do we expect to have His strength if we don't listen to Him, if we don't pay attention to what He's saying? Like one of the Morays brought out in regards to the word Shema, how we've always said Shema is listen, listen, listen. And he came to another revelation that Shema means obey. We have to obey Him. We read in the accounts of our ancestors, and we see how when they obey, things are working out for them perfectly. But when they don't obey, things don't work out in their favor, but they're still working according to the Father's will, because ultimately He wants Israel to obey Him and be a card with Him. And that's one of the things that we're striving to do, is to be a card with the Father. And the way we become a card with the Father is by obeying and listening to what the Son has said to us to do. Chapter 11. And it came to pass when Gabin, king of Hazon, had heard those things that he sent to Joab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akashah, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plains south of Chinero, and in the valleys and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanites on the east and on the west, and to do the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the mountains, and to the Hevites under Hamon and the land of Mitzpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitudes, of horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and they pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Yahushua came, and all the people of war with him by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And Yahweh delivered them into the hands of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon. And upon, let me look this word up. Misrith Othmarim, and into the valley of Mizpah, eastward, and they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Yahushua did unto them as Yahweh bade him, and he hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Yahushua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire, and all the city of those kings and all the kings of them did Yahushua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Yisrael burnt none of them, save Hazor only, that did Yahushua burn only. That did Yahushua burn. And all the spoils of these cities and the cattle, the children of Israel took for prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As Yahweh commanded Moses, saying, As Yahweh commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Yahushua, and so did Yahushua. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh commanded Moses. So Yahushua took all that land in the hills and all the south country and all the land of Gershon and the valley and the plain and the mountains of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baagad, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Yahushua, man of war, a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All others they took in battle, for it was of Yahweh to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as Yahweh commanded Moses. And at that time came Yahushua and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountain of Yehuda, and from all the mountain of Israel. Yahushua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So Yahushua took the whole land according to all that Yahweh said unto Moses. Yahushua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions, by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute before we go into the last chapter, which is chapter 12. So, as we see, the Father, or Yahweh, went before Yisrael, and as we read that song, Yahweh is a man of war. He's a man of war. He went through, he slayed these people. In the process of giving this land to Yisrael, and Yahushua led the battle. Yahushua, son of Nun, did as Yahweh said to do. And the people followed, and people did as Yahushua commanded them. Now we're getting into the last chapter for the night. which is chapter 12. And it says, now these are the kings of the land, which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plains on the east. Verse 2. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river of Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from the half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is in the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plains to the sea of Chinneros, and into the sea of the plain, even to the salt sea on the east, the way to, let me look that up again. Beth Ha Yish Emoth. Beth Ha Yish Emoth. And from the south under Ashdoth Hapispagal. Ashdoth Hapispagal. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was the remnant of the giants that dwell in Ashdoth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and then Salcla, and then all Bashan, unto the borders of Geshurites, and the Mahakathi. And the half Gilead in border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Then did Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the children of Israel smite. Moses, the servant of Yahweh, gave it for possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the countries which Yahushua and the children of Israel smote in the side of Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Yahushua gave unto the tribes of Israel for possession according to their division, and the mountains, and in the valley, and in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, one. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. And the king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Kedir, one. The king of Hamath, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Lebna, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Mekeda, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hepher, one. The king of Afke. Let me look that up. Ach-Ake won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of, look that up, Shimron Merwan won. The king of Ak-Safar won. The king of Ta'an-Ak. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jokinarim of Carmel won. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor won. And the king of the nations of Gilgal won. And the king of Tirzah won. All the kings, 31. And that concludes chapter 12. We're going to stop here for a minute because as we were reading these different battles of Yahushua wiping these people out, you would never imagine that it was that amount, you know, these different amount of kings and these different amount of nations that were occupying this region, in which the Father said that he was going to give to Israel as a heritage. And that's just like what we was talking about earlier in dealing with the battle that we have to do as true Israel in dealing with these different nations and dealing with these different beliefs. Because when you start dealing with the major beliefs, it's like seven of them. But when you're dealing with beliefs, the belief system of humanity in general is more than just seven. So you're going to be dealing with different people of different walks of life and different opinions about whatever. And we have to stand on that solid foundation, which is the word of Yah. And we have to pay attention to what Yahushua is saying to us, and securing ourselves in him and allowing his power that dwells within us to overcome and go before us, allowing his reputation to go before us. You know, like you just use myself as an example. You know, as everyone know, I work at, you know, some people know where I work at. And in the place I work at currently, I've come across people who, you know, remember me from my former occupation. I've my skill set is a security officer, but I've been a security officer in a couple of settings, you know, and I can, having people to remember me from these different settings. And it's interesting, like this past week, I ran across a guy that I remember, you know, he remembered me, I remembered him from a previous setting, you know. And, you know, as he said, your reputation precedes you. And we both, you know, identified each other based on what we remember about each other. But the same, you know, and that's what happened when we go through, we're going through this history. When Yahushua took Israel across the Jordan, and they was going through the land of Canaan, and how the word or the name of Yahweh preceded before them. And everybody knew about their God and the power of their God, the power of their mighty one. And that's the same thing with us. When people come to find out that, you know, we're true Israelites, you know, that power of Yahushua going to go before us. That power of Yahweh Elohim is going to go before us. That power of Yah is going to go before us. You know, but we just have to stand on his word. We have to stand in his, you know, his spirit. And as long as we stand in his spirit, we will overcome. Because if you pay attention to what we just read, Yahushua, son of Nun, he was wiping these people out, but they was already tore down. Why? Because Yahweh had already went before him. And what did he do? He tore the minds of those individuals down. So they was afraid. You know, and fear, you know, people don't really like to fight in fear. You know, because your mind is all scrambled. So he scrambled, he took all the fight out of them, which made it easier for Yahushua, son of Nun, to conquer these people. And that's the same thing with us. You know, the more we get that word up in us, the more strength we, you know, the more we rely on the strength of Yahweh. When we rely on the strength of Yahushua, when we rely on that spirit that he's sending back to us and have that faith that what he's sending back to us is the truth. What he's giving us revelation to is the truth. And regardless of what we come up against, what we know and what's been revealed to us is the truth. Like I think the scripture says, if they speak not according to this word, then the truth is not in them. You know, they're a liar. You know, it's not saying that everybody has to say things verbatim, but you have to be in the ballpark as far as what is being said. You know, because everybody's delivery is not the same, but the understanding should be the same. So going back to the initial, you know, notion of why the Father brought me this way, because we just got finished coming out of the art of war. The art of war. And what is happening right here, you know, the art of war, what is happening? The Father is tearing people's minds up and bringing fear upon them. And at the same time, what is he telling his people? Be strong and be courageous. Because he understands human nature. You know, and when we look at Israel, when he, you know, whenever they describe Israel, Israel were not warrior people. So all these people that they're going up and fighting against are fighters, are warrior people. They're not herdsmen. They're not, you know, they're not shepherds. They're not farmers. These are war people. You got shepherds and farmers going up against soldiers. But what did he tell them? Be of good courage. Be strong. And have faith in me. Because that's where their strength came from. Their strength came from their faith in Yahweh. And that's the same thing for us. That's where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from our faith in Yahweh. And our prosperity going to come through those prophets, the person in whom Yahweh has chosen to speak to you or speak to the people. Yahweh spoke to Moses, and the people seen him speaking to Moses. As a result, they feared Moses, and they did what Moses said. But at the same time, they also murmured against Moses. And they got the results of murmuring against Moses. And that same reputation carried over. Why? Because Moses to Joshua, or Yahushua, son of Nun. And that same spirit was passed down. And that same respect was passed down to Yahushua, son of Nun. So that concludes this lesson today. Just hope that everybody is gathering some notes and gathering some information in regards to how Yahushua, son of Nun, was a soldier, was a man of war. Why? Because his leader was a man of war. We see that Yahweh is no joke. You know, when he said he left nothing breathing, why? Because he didn't want Israel to be influenced by nothing that was that once lived there. And that's the same thing to us, you know, that goes on with us today. You know, when I think I said it one time, you know, we can't be eating off of everybody's plate. You know, because everybody is not saying the same thing. Everybody is not giving you nourishment. You know, we live in a day and time where, you know, you got people out here eating a meatless burger. And in their mind, they thinking they eating a burger. But they not eating meat. They eating a meatless burger. Some fancy vegetables to give you the appearance of eating the daggone burger. You know, we got this thing now, you got this GMO, where they manufacturing stuff to look like food. And that's what's happening out here in this day and time. People manufacturing religions, manufacturing the Most High, and getting people to fall into their traps. Just like when we read, I think, in chapter 9, where Yahushua, son of Nun, got caught up in a trap. He was deceived. You know, he got caught up in their appearance. He got caught up in their words, and he didn't seek counsel. You know, as a result, you know, some things happened according to the Father's will, but the Father used that to his advantage and getting the Israelites to get the land of Canaan. But we don't have to go through that. You know, we seek assistance from the Father. We seek assistance from the men that he has chosen to speak on his behalf. Because he doesn't want us to be ignorant. As the scriptures say, he doesn't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So he lets us know in advance. He lets us know. He also telling us about our human nature. And he's also letting us know, hey, look, I'm going to help you find it. But when I help you find it, you got to be willing to get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of it, it's going to bring you pain. It's going to bring you pain and discomfort until you do get rid of it. But you must learn the lesson. So I'm going to close out with a prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. We thank you, Yahushua, for standing up for us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. We thank you, Yahushua, for the sacrifice that you have done for us. May we in turn make the same sacrifice for you, combing our minds to get rid of those things that are not of you, standing on that solid foundation, removing those things from ourselves that you bring to our attention. May we get rid of them quickly and get rid of all of it. As we come into this new season, Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us. May we not make the same mistakes that we made in the past year, but grow stronger in your ways and in your truth. Father, we thank you for the health and strength that you've been sharing with those who need assistance in building up. Continue to build them up so that they can be strong servants for thee. May they take these events or these situations and add character to them. Give them experience so that they can share their experience with someone else to build them up. As we continue to build your temple of these lively stones, shape and mold us so that we can fit inside this temple that will house you, thy son. As your son said, I go and I prepare a place for you. As the angels write our names down in the book of life. May we continue to do what is necessary that our names will stay in the book of life. May we continue to keep our salvation by keeping thy law, statutes, and judgments, by keeping the full armor on, which is Yahushua, by demonstrating the fruit of thy spirit, which is the character of Yahushua. Thank you, Father, once again for bringing us to the Sabbath day. We ask thee to continue to bless us with the truth of your word and continue to remind us. Or may we continue to be reminded of the blood of Yahushua that dwells upon us. As we come into this season, his blood is on us. May we remember that in sincerity of heart. Thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity to come before you and thy people. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. May y'all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom.
Gadol Yahweh, U Meholal Meod, Ba'ir Eloheinu, Har Kadasho, Yife Nof, Meshoshal Haaretz, Hatzion Yaketi, Safon Kiryat Melekrav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav.
Greatly too.